Morning. My name is Adam Darbone. I'm the high school director here. Really glad you're here with us. So given all of the listening that you do just in your daily life here on Sunday morning, you might think that you're a good listener. But I'm here today to tell you you're actually not. You're a terrible listener. And maybe you think, well, my kid is a bad listener, but I'm a good listener. No. Research shows that you hear or you remember about 25 to 50% of what you listen to. 25 to 50%. So that's a failing grade. But I want to argue that you're not actually a bad listener. You're not a bad listener at all. You're just a bad hearer. So that's what I want to argue today. And have you ever been in a conversation before with someone where maybe your spouse or your boss or something, where you're listening to them sort of, and they're talking and talking and talking, and then you hear their voice go up like this, and you realize you're supposed to say something back, but even though you were listening, you didn't actually hear a word they said? That's never happened to me either. So in this passage, we find Jesus dealing with this exact issue. He's got a whole crowd of people, kind of like this crowd, a whole crowd of people listening to him, but not hearing a word he says. And friends, I think that this passage that we're about to read is so important to you and to me, because we are just like that crowd. We may listen to Jesus, but far too often we don't actually hear him. We aren't listening carefully, and so we miss a transforming reality that's right in front of our face. And so let's hear what Jesus has to say today. Listen carefully to our passage. It's going to be out of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. So if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. Otherwise, it's going to be up on the screen. Luke 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from a town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell on the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." So Jesus tells this cryptic story about a seemingly bad farmer. And as we're about to see, nobody in the crowd quite understands. In fact, even the disciples. But Jesus' followers did understand some things about the story that maybe we don't, living on the San Francisco Peninsula and not in ancient Israel. And so here, the disciples understood three major things about this story. First, they understood this farmer's not a bad farmer at all. He's just a normal farmer. The land in Israel is rocky and hilly, but it wasn't like you and I think of when we think of like perfectly aligned rows where when you drive by in a car, it makes you like freak out a little bit. It wasn't like that, right? It looked more like this. It's rocky, it's hilly. And so, farmers would scatter the seed everywhere they could so that, they would find where the seed might grow best. So that's the first thing. The second thing is they understood that all three of these dangers, birds, rocks, and thorns, were just a part of reality of ancient farming. It just was the way it was. And then third, they knew that a crop yielding 100 times what was sown was a lot. Not like totally unheard of, but totally unrealistic. Right, far more than any farmer could expect or really hope for. So the average crops were about 35 times what you sowed. Every once in a while, you might get a crop that was 60 times what you sowed. 100 times is a lot. So they understood the farming metaphor, but what they didn't get is the spiritual meaning behind it. And so they asked Jesus in verse 9. So verse 9, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And before we listen to Jesus' explanation, he's going to explain it in a moment, I just I think it's worth noting that the disciples don't get it at first. When Jesus says, anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. Even the disciples don't have ears to hear at this point. But they have hung around Jesus long enough to know that they can ask him. And I don't know how long you've been hanging around Jesus. Maybe not for very long. But I want you to know that he welcomes your questions, even your hard questions. Why did this happen to me? What about the bad things Christians have done? Doesn't religion in general create more bad than good? Those kinds of questions aren't off limits for Jesus. He's happy to answer questions for anyone who would ask them, honestly. And so if you're here this morning with questions, man, I invite you to ask them. There's going to be a prayer team up here at the end of the service. You can ask them. You can come find me. Ask those questions. But the disciples, they already know that they can ask Jesus' questions. They've been hanging out with him for quite a while. And so they ask Jesus for an explanation, and Jesus gives it to them. And so and he explains it starting in verse 10. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. See, parables work sort of like this picture. There's an obvious picture, right? A bunch of zebras. But if you look a little closer, if you're willing to squint your eyes a little bit, take a second, something else pops out at you. You see something more, something bigger. When Jesus talks about the secrets of the kingdom of God, he's not talking about secrets like you have secret Christmas presents that you keep from your kids, where you find new hiding places for, and you find boxes that are too big to fit them so that they'll be fooled, and then you wrap them in technicolored sheets of paper so that they won't know. It's not that kind of secret. It's the kind of secret like the secret image in this picture. It's right there in front of you. It's available to anyone who would look for it. But if you won't look for it, if you won't stop and take a second, then you'll never find it, even if it's right in front of you. And so Jesus goes on to explain this parable. And we find out that the irony of this parable is that the crowds don't hear that the parable is about them not hearing well. The crowds don't hear that the parable is about them not hearing well. So verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. A farmer would have a big bag of seed over their shoulder. He takes them out and he would throw it into the field, but some of it wouldn't make it to the field. Some of it would make it on the path. And then when it would get on the path, people would walk on it. It's a well-trodden path. And then birds would come and eat the seed and steal it away. And Jesus says that the seed is the word of God. And more specifically, it's the word of God that the kingdom of God is coming. And the seed that falls on the path gets snatched up by the devil. The book of 1 Peter tells us that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And like a lion or like a crow, he snatches the word of God from many people. These are people who have heard the word and yet are hardened against it, unwilling to believe that the kingdom of God really is coming. Unwilling to believe that God sits on a throne in heaven and one day he will make everything right. Maybe it's hopelessness that's led them to this. Maybe it's jadedness. But unwilling to believe, the devil has come and snatched away the word of God from their heart. But Jesus goes on. He says this. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The rocks in this field weren't, it's not like big rocks, a bunch of different rocks. It's one layer of limestone that sits underneath the soil. So for much of the soil, there's this layer of limestone sitting underneath it. And so there'd be a little bit of topsoil on it, so you couldn't see the limestone when you threw the seed on it. But you would know it was there because the seed would sprout up, it would shoot its roots down, And so it would look like it was growing quickly. But pretty soon, because it couldn't get down deeper to the real moisture, it would soon wither and die. And Jesus says that many people's faith is like that. That they sprout up in good times. Everything looks like it's growing, but as soon as their faith is tested, as soon as there's persecution, as soon as there's hard times, as soon as things begin to go wrong, their faith starts to wither. The lie that these people believe is that God owes them something. The lie that if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be great. You're going to have health and wealth and happiness. You'll get promoted at work. You're going to marry the girl or the guy of your dreams. You're going to have perfect kids. Your marriage is going to be great, is blissful all the time. You'll never get in an argument. Your kids will grow up. They'll go to the college they want to go to, which happens to be the college you want them to go to also. And you'll never deal with money issues. Your friendships will always be perfect and easy. But if you believe that, when a time of testing comes, when your loved one gets cancer, when you lose your job, when someone gossips about you and causes real damage to your life, you'll be like a plant who grows up but withers when they hit rock bottom. You'll find out that the word of God was growing in false soil the whole time. You weren't listening carefully. You didn't hear about his coming kingdom. That's not what your hope was in. Your hope was in, you just heard about your happiness, your health, and your wealth. But Jesus goes on, he says, it's not actually just suffering and bad times that causes people to fall away. It's actually also good things. Look with me at verse 14. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Like thorns and weeds growing up around a plant, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world will block the sprout from seeing the sun and will drink up all the water in the soil so it can't grow. Jesus says that the reason that some people can't hear him is because their TV is turned up too loud. And honestly, I think that for us on the peninsula, this is the most dangerous one for us. We have access to so many riches and pleasures. You feeling convicted yet? Fantasy football got me. The cares of the world surround us on this little strip of land. We've got great weather, unlimited things to do here. And astounding wealth. And man, if you are not careful to listen, all of these things will choke out the word of God in you, and your spiritual growth will be stunted and malformed. The word of God that promises the coming of the kingdom of God, the earth-shattering news, heaven-altering news, will become white noise amidst the cares of the world, shouting for your time and attention. Now, if you're feeling convicted, the good news is coming soon. Don't worry. Verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by perseverance produce a crop. When I lived in Madison, Wisconsin, my boss had a garden in the backyard. Everybody has a garden in the backyard in Madison. They refer to themselves as the Berkeley of the Midwest. They're very proud of it. But I'm not from Berkeley. I'm from San Mateo. I grew up in San Mateo. I'm a city boy. I've never grown anything in my life. In fact, my wife and I have four succulents at our house. They're all dying. They're succulents. She was like, should we get a wreath for Christmas? I'm like, not a live one. We should not have anything live in our house except us. But when I moved to Madison, everybody farms, and I was living in this house, and the guy had a garden in the backyard, and so I helped plant some seeds and water the garden and stuff. And so what I realized about farming is that it's an obnoxiously long process. It takes a long time. So, and for those of you who are like me, who've never grown anything successfully anyway, here's how you farm. This is how kind of farming for dummies, this is how it works. You buy these little round things that you get at the store, and you put them in some dirt that makes your yard look really ugly. And then, for 20 to 30 minutes at a time, a couple times a day, you pour water on this dirt, and you make mud. Right, you just stand there with a hose in your hand making mud, like a child. And then after you do this for like a month, you see one little green thing kind of pop out of the mud. And at first you think it's a leaf, so you try to go get rid of it. Then you realize, oh, it's attached to something. I shouldn't get rid of that. So then you wait a little longer, and you continue watering, and more little green things start to pop up. You wait a little longer, they start to grow. Then you continue to water your dirt. Now it's mixed with plants. And pretty soon you see flowers start to bud on them. And then as you continue to wait and continue to water, you eventually get your first tomato. And man, when you get your first tomato, it is so exciting. Right? You bring it in, you chop it up, you like put it in a salad or something, and the whole family gets like 1/6 of a tomato. But everyone's so excited about this one tomato that they could have gotten at the store any day they wanted. But then you wait some more, and you water some more, and eventually you start getting a few more tomatoes that pop up. And then you wait a little longer, and pretty soon there's like a couple new tomatoes every day. And then pretty soon you're producing so many tomatoes that you can't eat them all. You have to start giving them away to your neighbors. It's incredible. And I know if you're a farmer, you're like, no, it's not incredible. It's just the way it works. But it is. It's incredible if you grew up in the city to watch tomatoes just come up out of the ground. But it takes forever. It takes just a painstaking amount of perseverance to grow tomatoes. But it takes even more painstaking perseverance to grow the Word of God. People who are like the good soil have painstaking perseverance. They hold to the Word of God, the promise that the kingdom of God is coming. And they grasp it with all their might, bearing fruit with patience. And it takes faith to do this, right? Not blind faith, but the kind of faith it takes to water a plot of dirt. The seed's been planted. If you water it, it will grow. But until it starts to come up, man, it's easy to wonder if it ever will and if it'll be worth it when it does. But let me just say that in the meantime, there are ways to cultivate this kind of perseverance, to grow that kind of perseverance in you, right? You're not just born with perseverance. You learn it. That's why it was a life skill in my elementary school. Right? And the ways to grow perseverance as you wait for the Word of God to bear fruit in your life are you do things like you read about God's faithfulness in the past and read stories to your kids about God's faithfulness in the past. I was just reading about a guy named Adoniram Judson. Incredible, incredible man. Incredibly patient. Take time every day to meet quietly with God. Right, turn the TV off, put your phone on, do not disturb, get the distractions away, and listen to him. Pray for Jesus to return. Man, we don't pray enough for Jesus to return and to fix the broken world we live in. And ask yourself every day, if Jesus really is going to return, if he's going to come and he's going to transform the world, wipe out death, sin, pain, tears, what effect is that going to have on my life today? How am I going to interact with my coworkers today? How am I going to do my job today? What kind of attitude am I going to have? And how am I going to treat my spouse when I get home? Man, it takes time, and birds are going to come and they're going to try to steal that seed. Rocks and thorns are going to stop the seed from growing. But with patience, through good times and bad, that seed will grow and bear fruit. And now Jesus has explained his parable to the disciples and to anyone who would read this book, but he's not quite done yet. Look with me at verses 16 to 17. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. What's Jesus talking about here? Remember at the beginning of the passage when we talked about the, Jesus talked about the secrets of the kingdom of God? One day, Jesus says that the secrets of the kingdom of God will be fully revealed, right? The hidden picture is going to come into focus. The lion's going to pop out at you and the zebras are going to go away. Namely, that the kingdom of God is coming in power to remake, renew, and restore our broken world and the people in it. And this is good news, friends. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Though your life may look like a pile of dirt, and this world may look like a pile of something worse, God has planted a seed in your heart that will grow up, and in fact is growing up and will bear fruit. And one day this hope that you hold will come to completion. And so therefore, friends, verse 18, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them. The question to ask yourself in this passage is not which soil am I? No. The question to ask is, how do I become the good soil? The question, it's how are you willing to fight the birds that are going to try to steal the seed from your heart to make you jaded and hopeless? Are you willing to listen and believe the word of God, even in suffering? To see past the cancer and the killings, the loneliness and the lackluster realities in your life? Are you willing to rip the hands that are strangling you from around your neck, the pleasures and the riches and the cares of this world, and stay focused on the word of God bearing fruit in your life? Friends, the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus, the great farmer, will return. And therefore, listen carefully. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you would plant your word in us. We are so grateful that your kingdom is coming. We pray that you would bring it and bring it soon. And Lord, we pray that as we wait, you would give us perseverance, that you would water the seed in us, that it would grow up and bear much fruit. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.